the Gideons, we'd like to welcome Neil Martin here. He joined the Gideons in 2011. He lives and works in Conway with his wife, Wendy. And he has one son, Nathan, who attends Arkansas Tech. He attends Four Winds Church in Conway, where he has led small groups and taught class to various age groups. He served in various positions on the media, on the Gideon camp level, and is currently the membership chairman of the South Faulkner County Camp. He served on the state Gideon cabinet as regional program leader, Area 5 director, and church ministry coordinator for the entire state of Arkansas. He served on the International Finance Committee for Gideon's International in Nashville for 3 years. He's moderator of the business meeting for the International Convention in 2017. He was speaker at the International Convention in 2018. He has been on an international scripture blitz to Bolivia in 2018, where 177,000 scriptures were distributed in 5 days. So let's welcome Neil Martin to our church this morning.
Thank you, brother. What's a lot more stuff when he reads it out like that? I never usually listen to it that much. Before we get started this morning, Mr. Arnie Burke had some surgery yesterday. I know you guys are very familiar. Brought the report, a member here, and he is doing better. But Miss Anita wouldn't mind some Gideon cards sent in his honor, and those card racks are out here in the foyer on either side. So keep the Burks in your prayers. This morning, I'm going to share with you a little bit about Gideon's International, kind of like what you hear every year. You guys are a very faithful church to be able to do that. But I'm going to start off with 2018. I went to Bolivia, Santa Cruz, Bolivia, as a matter of fact. It's about 2 million people. I expected to go and it be a little bit smaller than that, but it's a very, very large city. So if you don't, wouldn't mind the slide, you'll see this first picture here. You'll see Jose. So what happens on these things is we get up about 5 o'clock in the morning. We're on our knees for a couple hours. And then by 7 o'clock, we're out distributing Bibles. We're out all over the city, and we go with different teams every day. And like you heard, we did close to 175, 180,000 scriptures in 5 days there. So we were really getting it. But Jose, I was with him one particular day, and I don't speak much Spanish. And we usually get an interpreter that goes with us every single time. Well, this day, we did not have an interpreter with us. So I call him Jose the Boxer because he is the Bolivian national boxing champion, and he's also the Bolivian national weightlifting champion. These guys are Gideons and auxiliary around the world, about 280,000 of us. They're just folks just like us. They got jobs and other things that they work until they become a member of the association. So I was with Jose this whole day. I took a picture of him in front of the Catholic school when we were distributing Bibles that morning. If you'd go to the next slide there. So right here, we're at a school, another school. This school had about 3,000 kids in it. We did about 3,000 Bibles that afternoon. And they do school a little bit differently there. They go from 8 to 10 or 12, something like that, and then they switch out. They get all new teachers, all new principals, all new everything, and they have another set of kids that come in. So we were able to get both sets of kids as we were going in. These two ladies, the one on the far left in the blue, she actually came over and asked me a question, and I really couldn't help her or understand her that well. So I just poked Jose a little bit, and he came over, and he started witnessing to her. And then the other lady came out, and she saw what was going on, and so she stood there with him. So Jose talked to those ladies for a little while, and he ended up leading both of them to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ right there in front of the school. We had those Bibles stored in a different place, so he walked down, he gave those ladies both of those Bibles, and he invited them to his church. See, it is enough that we go out and we witness with these things, just like you do. We witness, we ask people to know Jesus Christ, and if they don't, we show them the Roman road, we're able to lead them to Jesus. And then what we do is point them back to where? The church, right? because this is where we get our nourishment from. This is where we grow as Christians. So that's what he did. I wasn't there to find out if both of those ladies showed up, but he did lead them both to the Lord. If you'd show the next picture. And so, next slide, please. Yeah, there you go. I told you we didn't have an interpreter, so pretty much all I did all day was pick up boxes and move because I couldn't talk to the kids back and forth. I kind of let him do it the whole time. But this is a picture from my hotel looking out, and right about in here was a little place across the street, and Jose's mother-in-law owned it. It was a place to eat and dine. So we sat down outside and drank a Coke before he took me back into the hotel. So as we were sitting there for a few minutes, he looked up and he said, I want you to come with me. He kept motioning. He said, Policia, Policia. And I said, I'm right here across the street. Let's go to the hotel. He said, no, Policia, Policia. Well, Gideon's International keeps up with us almost 24 hours a day while we're there. We hand our passports over. Usually they lock them up. And so we don't have our passports or any identification. And these guys are kind of responsible for us as we go out and we witness and do these things. So I could see the hotel, so I thought, really, there's no big deal. I'll just walk across. I'll walk down the street here, and we'll talk to the police station. So as we get closer, I start seeing the guys in the suits. In the police uniforms and the Kevlar and the guns and I said, hey, I no passport. I don't have my passport. It's across the street. He said, no, Policia, Policia. He said, come on. So we walked on down, kept going in, and inside of that place, that is the police station. That's right there. That's across the street from our hotel. It's about three stories high, and it had a courtyard right in the middle. So we walked through, and we just walked right in. The guy at the door seemed to kind of know who he was, and there were police everywhere. And I said, hey, I got no passport. He was like, I know, come on. So we walked all the way across the courtyard, went up three flights of stairs, walked into this room, and there was a woman sitting at a desk. She was wearing fatigues, and he started talking to her a little bit, and she got up, and she got a little belligerent with him. She got a little mad. He backed off for just a minute or two. And she kept going, and I reached over and grabbed his arm and said, let's go. Let's get out of here. We're good to go. He said, no, uno momento. About that time, he and her walked out, left me in the office by myself. I don't know. I got him locked up. I'm going to have to get across the street to the hotel somehow. I'll figure this out. A few minutes later, he came back in with that lady and about five or six more people. And they all stood, they came, and he grabbed me by the arm, and they all stood, and we stood in front of the desk, and I stood and took pictures with every one of them as they came through. And there was a line at the door, and I just stood and took pictures and smiled. And he would tell me, smile, smile. We got done, walked across the street, and we had an interpreter named Jose as well over at the hotel across the street. And I called him over. I said, Jose, come here. I want you to talk to Jose. I want to know what's going on. So he went over there, and they talked, and I could see Jose, and they both laughed a little bit, you know, and he came back, and he said, Neil, you're right. And he said, y'all, you were not supposed to be there. You shouldn't have been there. He said, that is the police station for Santa Cruz. He said, all the police officers come in and out. And he said, what Jose did was set up a distribution for when you're gone. 10 to 15,000 scriptures they're going to need to be able to hand out to all the police officers. And then it hit me. Jose used me. And he said, they love to see an American. And praise God for that. So this is what's so important to me about this story and this testimony. Is the next slide here. This was about a year later, and this testimony was on faithwire.com. It's kind of a Christian news outlet, if you will. And someone sent this to me, and I emailed a couple of guys that I still know, and they said this is absolutely a true story. So there was some upheaval in Bolivia. They were throwing out the current regime, and there were riots in the streets, especially in Santa Cruz. And so these are two police officers that were there for the riots to help stop the riots. And if you'll go to the next slide, if you can see right here in this picture, right here in the corner, That is a little bitty Spanish Gideon Bible. It stopped a bullet and saved that policeman's life. Now, I can't help but think those 15,000 testaments that they distributed showed up a year later and ended up in the pocket of that policeman and saved his life. See, that's what you guys do for us. We come here and we report to you and we tell you, you are such a faithful church for Gideon's International to be able to continue to give year after year after year. So it's really wonderful to be a part of what that does for us. You can take it down now. So I told you we've got close to 280,000 Gideons worldwide, about 2,800 or so Gideons in just the state of Arkansas. You guys are really blessed here, Gideons and Auxiliary. We've got about 100 of you in this church, and I don't know of any other church in the state of Arkansas that has that many Gideons and Auxiliary. But here's the thing. We need more. We need more Gideons and Auxiliary. Why do we need more? Because you guys distribute thousands of Bibles here in Polk County. That's not the case where I'm from in Faulkner County. That's not the case in Little Rock. See, we don't get in our schools anymore. We've now had one whole generation that did not get a copy of God's Word. Because they got a letter from one boy that said he didn't like it, and the school board voted to keep the testaments out. And I want you to know one of those people on that school board was a pastor at a local church. Hard to believe, isn't it? But you guys are very blessed here. My son does go to Arkansas Tech, and he called and he said, "Hey, the Gideons are out here, Daddy." He knows I've been doing it for several years. And he went a different direction. He's got a few Bibles. So really, that child thing's a tough act to follow. We could actually use that director in some of our Gideon meetings, to be honest with you. She does a wonderful job, real good job with those kids this morning. I enjoyed that very much. I said this earlier, you guys, we have been greeted from the parking lot all the way in. You are a friendly, friendly church. That's from an outsider coming to visit. Guess what, though, folks? They don't walk through the doors looking for us, do they? They don't much come in here. There's a lot of seats that are empty in here. And what do we got next week? Even the Apostle Paul said the resurrection is the greatest thing that ever happened to us, right? Easter. We're going to invite some folks. We're going to ask some people to come in, and we're going to do that. And why are we going to do that? Because we got some extra chairs. And as friendly as this church is, you guys ought to be able to fill this place up, and probably will, to be honest with you. We felt very welcomed, and I really appreciate that very much. Really, there's only two types of people in the world. They're saved and unsaved. That's it. If you're saved, you got Matthew 28:19 to deal with, right? Go therefore in all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of Jesus. But if you're not, you got Romans 10:9, which is call upon the name of the Lord, and ye shall be saved. Please, with fury in the earshot of my voice, if you know, or if you're sitting here this morning and you needed to recommit or you needed to do something, do not leave this place today without coming down here and talking to one of these deacons or one of these pastors. Get to know who Jesus Christ is. And folks, I'll tell you this, all the people that I've been able to witness to and tell about Jesus Christ, none of them ever asked me about eschatology. None of them ever really said, "Do you sprinkle or dunk at your church?" Nobody ever said that. Folks are hurting. I mean, turn on the news, right? We don't have to wait very long to see how bad it is out there in the world. And people are looking for something more than this. Now, do you have to be a Gideon to witness? Absolutely not. But we get the best tools in the business to do it with. And these guys here in Polk County do a great job, and you are very supportive of what they do. You keep the word saturated in this county. And God says His word will not return void. A lot of times we do school distributions at different places like UCA. We still get in, and people will walk up and they'll hand me two Bibles, and they'll say, "We found these in the trash." And I said, "You should have left them there." Why? Trash men will get saved. They will not go where they're not supposed to go. They will get to where they're supposed to get to. Amen? Amen. I'm going to share with you a little bit more of a story. And I know you guys, you're so blessed to be able to hear all around the world what Gideon's International does. But I think it's just as important as what he does outside these doors locally for our schools and where we're at. And so what I'm going to share with you now is a personal testimony of mine. So bear with me just a minute, and I'll bring this home to where it's Gideon's International. In May of 2021, I got COVID, and I got put in the hospital. 5 days later, I got transported to a different hospital, and it was there that I got put on a ventilator, and I stayed on a ventilator for 56 days. Outside of that, around July, mid-July, I kind of became cognizant again, and then in August 15th of 2021, I was allowed to go home. So I was there in a facility from May till almost August, and we're all very familiar with COVID and what it's done. And so I had no really pre-existing conditions. I was not vaccinated, but I had no pre-existing conditions. But while I was in there, I caught staph infection twice. I had kidney failure. I became a diabetic while I was in there. I also had what they call fungus in the blood, so I had a TPN tube that was put in, and so that feeder tube that was there, the yeast attached to the sugar and gave me fungus in the blood. And so about 50% of the people that actually get that go home to be with the Lord. And so twice they had prepared my wife's on the front row down here, to come and be ready for me to go home. So for me, I was on fentanyl the whole time. It's kind of a thing that I didn't really get addicted to anything while I was in there. It's a very strong drug, which I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with. But Wendy was there with me every single day except for one. She stayed in the hospital with me the entire time. Here's what I'm thinking. So God allowed this in my life. I laid there, really didn't know where I was or what was going on. While we were there, she got to looking for a Bible. So she's very familiar. She's an auxiliary member. She knows we should have Bibles. This was a Christian hospital, and they had no Bibles. So she called our local group where we were, and they brought her some Bibles up, and they were able to place some Bibles. Now, later on in July, when I finally started going through some rehab, one of the rehab ladies called me over, and she said, it's because of you that we got Bibles here. She said, people come and ask us for scriptures all the time. And she said, we didn't have any. Now, a lot of that's because of COVID. We were told a lot of times during COVID that the disease would attach to the outside or to the pages, and that's a lot of reasons why you couldn't have Bibles in the hospital. There's one thing the Bible ain't, and it ain't going to have no sickness in it. I can promise you that. So when you travel and you open that motel drawer and you see those Bibles, that's actually 10% of our overall distribution. Majority is what we do personally and what we do out in public. So let me go back to my story. So when I couldn't, when I finally got up, I couldn't eat, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. I had to learn to do all of those things again. I was one of the few on the entire floor that got to leave, and I left without having to be on oxygen all the time. My kidneys are fine to this day. I'm not diabetic. Speech, it was almost immediately I got my gift of speech back. Wendy had taken and taped one of these beside my head and read scripture to me almost daily for God's word and for healing in my life. So I'm very, very fortunate for that. One of the things that happened to me while I was in there was in physical rehab, the physical rehabilitation side, and I was in a wheelchair at that time, and I was reading the Bible, and I had up on the screen, I had a preacher, and two CNAs came in to take care of me and do what they do, and I talked to one of them, and then the other one, she said, this is too much for me, and she threw her hands up, and she left. And I don't know why, but both of them asked me, and they said, are you a preacher? I don't know why when you read the Bible somewhere, people think you're a preacher. I guess that's just nature of the beast that we're in this time. But I said, no, I'm not. I'm just a member in Gideon's International and witnessed to her. So right there in that physical rehab room that day, I was able to lead April to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ while I was in rehabilitation. I often say, is it enough that we got to place some scriptures and April came to know Jesus Christ, that I went through what I went through? And the answer is yes. But my answer is always, boy, I wish he'd have chose somebody else, but he didn't, right? He didn't. Praise God for what he did and for the deliverance that he put on me and how he took care of my family. But here's the benefit. Here's what we do. Is it enough that we present these things and we present the gospel of Jesus Christ and we witness to people? Absolutely. That's what we do. That's our singular purpose. But here's what else ancillary that you can get from Gideon's International. The strongest prayer people on the face of this planet belong to Gideon's and Auxiliary. Because my wife couldn't keep up with the phone calls, so they made a Facebook page, and then one of my Gideon friends reached out. I had people in Japan, South America, all over the world. There are cities in Arkansas that had me on their entire prayer list. Folks, prayer changes circumstances. I don't care who you are. And some of you, I know, in a congregation this big, have been praying for something for a long, long time. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up prayer. Never forsake prayer and the reading of the Word. It will change your circumstances. And I stand here before you today. I got a few little minor things. I used to take 17 pills in the morning and 17 pills in the afternoon. Now I take about 3. I'm walking, I'm talking, and in September of 2021, I was back in my office and I was back at work, praise God. To the power and to the glory of God, he left me here. And I'm back speaking in churches, and I'm back telling people about Jesus Christ. Because Matthew 28:19 tells us what? Go therefore, tell them about the gospel. Tell them who I am. And that's why I'm standing here with you today. All those countries that were in, territories and possessions, about 200 of them, we're back really in the field now. We're back going. COVID just really stopped a lot of what we did and where we went and who we talked to. But we're back. We're back doing those things. And I know you guys are a faithful church with so many Gideons and Auxiliary that you kind of know that we're back doing those things. But we need your support to be able to do that. We need to buy Bibles. And what happened, we shut a lot of the printing presses down that were outside of the U.S. and brought them back into the United States, and it cost more to print those here than it did down there, so our cost of printing went up. We were close to being $1 for one of these. Why? It's because we use one of these, right? Not many people do. I still like to read, but I can't hardly see the print in this thing anymore, but that's neither here nor there. This is one of the things I tell folks. Do we need Gideons and Auxiliary? Yes, we do. Are we called the Gideons for a reason? Yes. He pared them down to 300. There's not that many of us, really. If you look at the world, 8 billion people, 1.5 million Christians, and there's about 280,000 Gideons and Auxiliary. Do we need more hands and feet to be able to hand out Bibles? Absolutely we do. And here's one of the things, and this is not a sermon. Everybody remembers Jesus walking on water. We've heard the story ever since we've been this high, right? And there was at least 12 people in that boat, weren't there? Maybe 13. We don't know for sure. But they saw Jesus, and what'd they do? They yelled out, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" They said, "No, no, it's Jesus." And he said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you." Everybody remember that? Somebody jumped out of that boat. And that was Peter. Now, we make fun of Peter a lot, don't we? He did a lot of things wrong, but he did a lot of things right. Peter jumped out of the boat, and there's a sermon there going on, and maybe Pastor will bring that around to you one day. But here's my point. We're looking for that one man or woman, Auxiliary, that's ready to jump out of the boat. If you're ready to get out of the boat and get closer to Jesus and draw closer in, Gideon's International needs you in the membership. And I know you're busy. We're all busy. But I want to tell you this, folks, not any amount of money could have saved me when I was in that hospital. Nothing. It was the power of God, Jesus Christ, that saved me that was there. And there is nothing better to sow into your life than telling people about who He is. And would any of you that are saved, that Matthew 28:19, would you go back to a different life? I certainly wouldn't. My life changed when I took Jesus Christ on as my personal Lord and Savior. And yours will too. And so will theirs. And then you get them in this friendly church, and we fill all these things up, and we get closer to going home. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you another testimony. I was in Gideon's International. It was for a meeting. There was about 500 or 600 of us from all over the United States. It was a big, huge building. We were sitting listening to some different things, and there was a delegation from Japan that was there. So I turned around, and I went over. We had a little break, and I walked over to these Japanese men, and I said, "Man, it's very nice to meet you. I enjoy your country and what you do. I've never been there. I'd like to make it there." And they all looked at me like I was speaking something other than English. And one of them spoke English, and he gave me a nod and said, "Thank you." I said, "I just love it." I said, "My wife drives a Toyota, and I've got Japanese maples." And I said, we enjoy it." So I went back and I sat down, or I was standing up actually at this point, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was him. And he said, "We need Bibles." And I said, "Okay." So I turned around. I said, "That's okay, I get it." I said, "If you'll go up there, the big guys are right up there. They sit up front. If you'll go up there and tell them, I'm sure we'll get you another shipment full of Bibles." And I turned back around and saw him, and tears were flowing down his face. And his shoulders were heaving up and down just like a little kid would do when he's crying. And he was immensely crying. He said, "My people are dying and going to hell." He said, 1% of my entire population knows Jesus Christ. They're going to hell. We need Bibles. It's been a long time since I've felt like that in the United States about our people. Folks, that's the kind of passion we need to have when we leave here on Sundays about those people out there. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do with Gideon's International. Now, I carry his card with me every time I speak in a church, every time I go somewhere. He's got a name about this long, and I can't really pronounce it. I see him sometimes at our international conventions, but every time I see him, I tell him, "I'm buying you Bibles, and I'm going to get to Japan one day, and I'm going to pass them out. I'd love to know Japanese, but I probably won't. But I'm going to get him some scriptures." And that's what you guys do for us here, is you get us scriptures so we can go out there. And we thank you for that deeply, deeply. How can you help? What can you do? Well, you can pray. I told you prayer changes circumstances. You pray for us to get back in those schools. You pray for our distribution points. You pray for us to be able to go internationally and do what it is that we're called to do. And then I told you, you can participate. How do you do that? Well, you become a member of Gideon's International if you qualify for it. Not one single member of Gideon's International can be a Gideon without the pastor signing off on it. See, we're the church. There's a lot of organizations, and you can join without being a member of the church or even a believer, not with Gideon's International. Folks, we even had to change our application a couple of years ago. Now it reads, "Do you believe in a biological marriage of a man and a woman?" Who'd ever thought we'd have to change that? But we need hands and feet. Romans 10 will tell you that. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. So you can pray, you can participate, and you can pay. We need to buy Bibles. That's why I'm here today. Told you the cost goes up. I think it's about $1.56 for one of these. Those hotel motel Bibles are still $5 a piece. It's enough to give $1.50. That's fine. But it's a whole lot more if you can do 150 and we can get a case of them out there. And this bunch here in Pope County does thousands of Bibles every year. And you keep them supplied and you keep them in need of those Bibles. It is always an honor and a privilege to be able to take time away from a pastor and take the pulpit. And you guys are a special church. I get to walk in a lot of them. And you very much are a special church. You're a special church for a lot of reasons. And one of them is because of the way you treat Gideon's International. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for helping us buy those Bibles that go all over the world, but they also go right outside these front doors. Now, I told you when I started this, you don't have to be a member of Gideon's International to witness. But are you? Do you? Do you share your faith? How about that neighbor that's down there on the corner? Do you talk to them? How about that waitress where you eat out all the time? Do you share your faith with them? Gideon's International encourages us to do that. If you want to be able to get out of the boat and see Jesus and go a little more than what you've been doing, find one of these guys that's a member of Gideon's International or ladies and talk to them about it. See if you can get qualified. We need your help. We need your help. So once again, you're a very friendly church, and I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to be here today. Please keep the Burks in your prayer concerns. I'm sure they'll update you as times go. And folks, this is the best time. Even the Apostle Paul told us the resurrection is the best time of the year, right? It's coming. We got 7 days from today, and we get to celebrate. We get to see what it was that we put our faith and trust in. And we get to ask people to come and hear what it is that we believe in deeply about who we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you very much. I want to thank the pastor. I want to thank the staff. This staff here is next to no. I mean, you guys are awesome. And Robert and everybody in the booth. And I thank you guys for what you do. You've taken great care of me today. And it's been very kind. And Pastor, I can't thank you enough for having us here and allowing us to continue to come in and tell you about all of our reports. Thank you very much.